Welcome to Entrepreneurhood, where we break entrepreneurship down into three simple pillars: business, lifestyle, and motivation. Our goal is to use our personal experiences as industry leaders to guide and inspire young entrepreneurs to see the lesson in every challenge. Because we understand that companies don't succeed, people do. Now, welcome the leaders of Entrepreneurhood, Lakim and KB.
Welcome to the Neighborhoods, episode 13. You got your boy Lay Kim in the building, and I got my brother KB in the building with me. This episode is going to be special because we bring in an exclusive entrepreneur to the neighborhood. You know, the last episode, I feel like it went viral. The demand just kept going. So KB decided to find an elite entrepreneur, and it's going to be the first female entrepreneur that we're bringing on Entrepreneurhood. KB, let the people know who our guest of the day is today.
Today, our special guest just recently got her business name stamped on the top Black-owned vegan businesses in NYC. She helped hundreds of people with weight loss, diabetic issues, lupus, and even women with their menstruals. She's practically a doctor, bro. That explains her bachelor's in science in Queens College and her plant-based certification by Cornell University. She offers delicious and nutritious vegan meal preps, catering services, and recipe ebooks. Ladies and gents, please welcome self-made entrepreneur Catherine Tulock, a.k.a. Caribbean Vegan.
Thank you for having me again, man. This is a pleasure to be on you guys' show and seeing how you guys have grown, especially with your business as well. KB, I've watched you grow from last year when you first had me cater your photo shoot, and then watching you now, it's just a beautiful thing to watch. I love seeing entrepreneurs grow, so I'm happy for you and your business. So thank you for having me. It's an honor.
I appreciate that. And it's so crazy how we actually end up interacting is that I saw someone post you in a story from the Got Cloud event. I'm not sure who posted you, but when I saw like the name Caribbean Vegan, I was intrigued automatically because usually vegan food is usually bland. So I was like, yo, I got to hit up and I got to try this.
Well, one of the reasons I started my business, because a lot of the vegan foods that they had out there, a lot of my people's not going to eat this. I'm just like, if I want to get Caribbean or Black people in general to eat healthier, I got to add our flavor and our culture in there. Otherwise, they're not going to want to eat a spinach salad with raspberry vinaigrette. Like, they want a little bit more than that.
That's a fact. Yole, you ever had any vegan food before?
Nah, man. I don't know too much about vegan foods. I'm very interested to learn what Kat got to bring to the table. I'm new to this.
Well, actually, I do plant-based more than vegan. I actually discussed this with KB before. There's a difference between vegan and plant-based. Vegan food is just vegan food. Like, it can be processed, it can be fried, it can be whatever, but plant-based food comes from the earth. It's foods that's not processed. So examples would be like legumes, fruits, vegetables, grains, stuff that hasn't really been messed with in a laboratory versus like, you know, the Impossible Burger. That's a perfect example. That has like pea protein, which is GMO, genetically modified, those things you don't want to put into your body. Even though it is vegan doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. So my mission is to spread more plant-based options than vegan options. I just put the Caribbean Vegan because it kind of flows better. I try to promote more plant-based options than vegan.
The Caribbean plant-based, I don't think it would ring as much.
You'd be like, what?
Okay, so I got a question for you, Kat. For all the listeners who, you know, don't know who you are, like, where are you from?
I am from Valley Stream, New York. My mom is Haitian and my dad's Jamaican, if we want to be specific, but I have backgrounds from the Caribbean islands, which is where I got like my Caribbean cooking flair from.
Yeah, I love that, man. I'm Jamaican too, so I definitely connect on that level.
That's a Guan.
Were you the first like generation plant-based person in your household? Like, did you start that?
Actually, it's funny because my uncle started back when I was probably in like 7th, 8th grade at the time. And I just remember, even including me, we just looked at him like he was crazy. Everything that I talk about now, he was saying this at our Thanksgiving dinner table. And, you know, while we're eating Thanksgiving food, we're not trying to hear that. So we look at him like, what is this dude talking about? He used to talk about, like, you know, of course, eating plant-based and how we went to a specialist. And but of course, as I got more into like the health and everything, now I'm just telling my uncle, like, damn, I wish I never looked at you crazy because everything that you're saying, I'm seeing now.
So you're saying that we all eat worms, but we have to detox our bodies.
So essentially, yes, I'm not trying to make it seem like everything you eat will have worms in it, but a lot of the foods that we do ingest can have worms in them, especially if you're eating natural food. So as I said, if you're eating strawberries or like stuff from like the ground, you're not like washing your fruits and vegetables properly. You can ingest worms. Even in like pig's meat too. I don't know if you ever heard of like people who are like Muslim, they don't eat pig and they say it's like dirty, but that's essentially why, because pigs do have a lot of worms in them. And I know the worm thing is true because I've done parasite cleanses since 2016. And the very first time I've done one, a worm actually came out. It was a tapeworm. Ever since then, I've been a firm believer of like, we need to cleanse our bodies no matter how healthy you eat. Of course, it's less when you eat healthier. If you're somebody that eats a lot of like seafood or like meat, I would definitely recommend doing a parasite cleanse. And you will see what comes out of you. Like, people don't realize what's inside of their guts until they actually do a clean diet and drink bitter herbs.
I'm about to empty out the fridge. Let's take it back to Thanksgiving. You said in seventh grade. So when did you make the change for yourself? It's like, yo, I want to choose this plant-based, you know, lifestyle.
It happened for me in 2016. So this was when I was in college. It was actually a friend of mine. This was when I was working at Trader Joe's. She was actually a pescatarian. And when I first started working there, and I remember at Trader Joe's, we would always like demo different foods so we can help other customers. Like, yeah, this is a good option to eat. So we would always taste the foods, and they prepared a meat dish and she didn't eat any. And I looked at her, I'm like, why aren't you eating any of like the chicken that they put out? She's like, oh, I don't eat meat. And I asked her why. And she just said, because she wants to be healthier. And that's when I started looking into not eating meat. So I stopped eating meat back in 2013. That was when I first eliminated meat. And then I was just doing a seafood only diet. So I was pescatarian. From there in 2016, that's when she educated me on the vegan diet as well. She was saying how basically everything that we've been eating is a lie and the whole nine. She educated me on that. And I also did research outside of that myself. And once I educated myself more on that, and even when I went to school at Queens College, I had certain classes that spoke a lot about like the foods that we eat, and I kind of put two and two together. And that's when I decided to make the drastic change in 2016 to just completely have no kind of animal product in my diet. And that's when it started from there.
That's interesting. And I was doing some research about, you know, your background, because I see that you did start it back in 2013. You said your mom had a big influence on you like getting into cooking the right foods, or like how did that go about?
She influenced me with the way she cooked food, because I love my mom's cooking. As I said, my mom is Haitian. So something about Haitian hands, I don't know what it is, but they know how to just make food taste amazing. That's my opinion though. So I always wanted to learn from her on how she made her foods taste so well. So like a lot of like the seasoning that I do today, I've learned from her. Essentially. So that's what I mean when she influenced. My mom doesn't eat vegan, but she can eat healthier food options. I just learned more so like my cooking techniques from her.
Okay, that makes sense to me. I was looking at it and I think it's so powerful. You know, I feel like everyone has a particular influence that kind of gets them introduced into whatever they're doing, because I can't cook. I know for sure whenever it came to cooking, that was one thing that I didn't learn that skill. With you taking the skill sets from your mom, what made you decide that you wanted to become vegan? So I see you said that like you've lost weight, and like I'm very interested to like know the backstory behind that. Like, how did that happen?
For me, I feel like health has been a journey for me since 2012, because that was the first time I ever lost weight. I used to do Weight Watchers. This was back when I was a senior in high school. That was the very first time I lost 60 pounds. So I lost 60 pounds. I did it off Weight Watchers. And I used to play Just Dance in my living room because I was in high school. I didn't have a job. So I didn't go to the gym. I was playing Just Dance in my living room or like working out on the track. And after losing weight that first time, I feel that's when it kind of triggered for me, because I always thought that wasn't possible for somebody like me, because overweight and diabetes runs in my family. So to the doctors in 2011, and they told me that I was pre-diabetic. And for me, that's when it kind of just hit me. I'm just like, I'm only in 11th grade. I shouldn't be having these health problems. Like, I'm too young for this. After I went to the doctor, that's when I decided I wanted to make a change. And I seen like the Weight Watchers, and I seen how it worked for other people. So I did that. And the main reason why it worked was because of portion control. But of course, the more advanced I got in health, I realized like portion control has nothing to do with nutrient powered foods. You can still lose weight eating those portion control foods, but are you essentially getting the foods that your body needs to survive in the long run? Because you could lose weight, but how is your body going to be the next 10 years from now? And that's what I eventually taught myself throughout the journey. I lost weight, then I went to college. The weight came right back. You already know stress, everything that happens with college.
Relationships.
Exactly. Like literally life happens after high school. So of course I gained the weight again. And then after I gained the weight, that's when I started working at Trader Joe's and I started the pescatarian diet that I told you that I learned from an old coworker of mine. And I lost the weight the second time that time. And then of course gained back the weight again, because as I said, I had little knowledge on food. I was just eating in portions and not eating the nutrients essentially that my body needed for me to withstand a healthier lifestyle. And then this time, the third time, 2016, this is when I went vegan. I didn't lose weight the first time in 2016. I actually was gaining more weight. And it was because, as I said earlier, I was eating the vegan processed food. So I used to tell myself, I'm like, how am I eating vegan and I'm gaining weight? Like, that doesn't make sense. I'm not eating anything else. It was until I took a nutrition class. It was my spring semester of college. It was like my first nutrition class. And I remember my professor just talking a lot about like cancer, how cancer forms. She talked a lot about ingredients and how that has a lot to do with why you bounce back with eating the certain foods that you tend to stay away from. Because if you're still essentially eating those same foods in smaller portions, when you lose the weight and you're feeling like good about yourself, you're going to eventually eat those foods in bigger portions again, because it's going to be like, oh, I lost the weight. It's addictive. And once I started to study ingredients and study chemical compounds, like in chemistry and stuff like that in school, you really start to understand, like, this is why I'm addicted to these foods. This is why it's hard for people to lose weight, because the dairy has casein. Casein is a chemical carcinogen. And a lot of people don't know these things. They're not going to tell you these things because it's a money-making industry. So at the end of the day, you got to respect their hustles. Just like, if I'm going to keep you in a hospital, why am I going to tell you that this has drugs in it? It took for me to do a lot of background knowledge for me to like understand food and how to essentially help people be healthier in the long run. Because as I said, you could lose weight doing cocaine and amphetamine, but are those things essentially healthy for you?
Not at all.
Exactly. And that's what I say. Like people think it's like a bad thing, but I'm saying it as in a way, like as an example, because like you can still do drugs and lose weight, but you can't. It's not healthy for you. That's just what it is.
So being that, you know, you got the food part down and you understand everything about it. You got the education. What was like your first sign of entrepreneurship?
The first sign of entrepreneurship was when I knew that I didn't want to work underneath people anymore. You know, I worked at Trader Joe's for 7 years, and it was just having the certain managers. I know everybody had those managers that just like told you what to do, but in a certain way, and it made you just feel like down about yourself. And I always hated that feeling. And once I kept feeling that, I was just like, there has to be another way. And I just knew from like, my dad always told me, he was like, you're such like a bossy girl. And I never really understood it until I got older. And it's true. I like to get things done by myself. When I knew like I had to be an entrepreneur. And since I found my niche, which was helping other people be healthy, that's when I kind of tied the two in together.
Did you always want to be a chef, or it just kind of happened like, yo, this is what I believe in. Let me be a chef. Let me go after that.
It kind of happened. At first, I wanted to be a nutritionist. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm still going into that route because I do know a lot about health, but now I want to tie the two together. But when I first was in college, I was like, I want to be a nutritionist. I didn't think about cooking for other people. It was once I got better at making plant-based food options, that's when it kind of clicked in my head. I was just like, instead of telling people what to eat, I should make it, because people will want to listen more if they taste it from somebody else than me just sitting here telling you what to eat.
She's definitely sort of the demand. Food, bro, is different. Like, it's a different type of feeling. Like, and I support a lot of, you know, Black entrepreneurs that sell plates. But I kid you not, like, she is definitely, if not the best, one of the best plates that I did have. I don't even eat chickpeas, but that was the first time I ate it. And I was like, yo, this is lit. I missed out on these all these years.
I've never had chickpeas. And like I said, it could probably be because I've never had it cooked the way it was supposed to. So I feel like
curry chickpeas at that. So I know you would like that.
Oh, that's a fact. Hell yes. So now, Kat, I got another question, right? So you, our listeners, this is all about entrepreneurship. And we like to talk about, you know, just different angles with entrepreneurship. So with you making the leap of like, yo, you're leaving Trader Joe's and you want to go full time into running your business, a lot of entrepreneurs, they struggle with backlash from their family. Well, your family knew that you were taking a route of being an entrepreneur, working for yourself full time. Were they supportive, or were they like, yo, you tripping?
It was a mix of both. And I would say at first, my parents, they were kind of against it. But my dad also owns his own business as well. He does TV installations for people. Him and my cousin both. My cousin, he installs the cameras. My dad puts up the TV. So I feel like once he started doing that and expanding in there, that's when he started to become a little bit more supportive. I just feel like from a Caribbean background, like the parents want to see that you're stable or that you have some kind of security. And I feel like with an entrepreneur, because I remember KB said one time, he was just like, you are the bag, literally, when you're an entrepreneur. And it's true, because it's just like, if you're not doing anything, you're not getting paid. Or if you're not coming out with something different, you're not getting paid, because you can't be stagnant. In order to be an entrepreneur, you have to be a creative mind, because you have to understand what people like. You have to understand what people don't like. You have to know how to get your content out there. So it's a lot that goes into it. And I feel like that was the fear with my family, because since I graduated school, they just thought, oh, well, why don't you work in your field? I just rather do things on my own time. Even if it didn't work for that moment, I'm always going to find a way to make it work for me. And that's just what it is.
I feel that because my family is Jamaican as well. No one in my immediate family is an entrepreneur. So when you come from a Caribbean background, or when you just come from a working class family, they want you to go the safe and secure route. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in what you were just saying. As entrepreneurs, what we learn the deeper we get into our industry is we eat what we kill. And all that really means is that if you're not producing and you're not gaining business, then you're not going to be able to pay the bills. That's such a huge part of entrepreneurship. I love that story because I know it's always great for our listeners to hear like different people saying, yo, when you started your journey, your family might not have been as supportive as you might have liked in the beginning, but that didn't stop you from continuing to pursue it.
I just proved my parents wrong. I just kept doing it until one day they just came downstairs and you're seeing plates stacked. They were just like, that's you? I'm like, yeah, that's me.
So getting into the business side of things, you do meal prepping, catering, and you offer meal guides. Like, you're really scaling your business to the max. And I respect that.
Thank you.
How do you separate yourself from the other trendy vegan chefs? Because what you offer is pretty different. What is your mission behind like how you do your branding compared to everyone else?
Compared to everyone else, I just find a way to make my food different. So like an example is, I always say this to people, like there's people that know how to make cauliflower wings. What are you going to do to your cauliflower wings to make sure you get that clientele? So people be like, nah, you got to try cat cauliflower wings. That's what it is with food. Food is an art. You have to learn how to work around it to make it your flavor so people will be drawn to you. And I feel like that was the hardest part for me in the beginning, was learning how to be myself, because I was always looking into following other people. I just feel like once I tapped more into like my Caribbean like culture and like their food, that's when it kind of clicked for me, when I was like, okay, instead of jerk chicken, I'll make jerk lentils. Like, you know, stuff like that eventually started clicking in my head. I just took foods that I normally would eat and I would apply it to a healthier food option. I feel like that's what made me different when I started everything. Because there's not a lot of people that make jerk lentils. There's not a lot of people that make brown stew lentils. There's not a lot of people that do a lot of things that I do. And that's the whole reason why I try to aim to be different, because that's what essentially was going to bring you people.
A person like me, I'm a very picky eater. Sometimes I love trying vegan restaurants, but when they offer me, you know, the chicken or the different type of burgers, it's like, yo, this ain't it. This is not it at all. That's one thing I do notice about your food, is that the texture is very similar to what the actual thing is. And it's like, you get in the real vibe, but you get a healthy choice. That's one thing I noticed that you do differently from other people, is that you really correlate to what in the culture and you just turn it and make it plant-based.
And I want to add something to that too, KB. So like, as she was talking, I was writing down some notes, and I think that was a powerful statement she just said. She said, food is an art. You know, I love hearing different angles, because I've never viewed food as an art. Food is something I consume. You know, when you hear it from a person who's the producer of the food, then it's like, you know, it's a different angle. So I think that's a dope perspective. So I guess a follow-up question that I got for that, Kat, is what's like a signature plate? Like, what's your go-to or your best seller that everybody continue to like order a lot?
I would definitely say what KB said was the curry chickpeas. Everybody loves curry chickpeas. The curry chickpeas with either the rice or the quinoa. And I feel like it's easy to make too. And I know a lot of people, especially that are busy in this day and age, easy is like the best. So if anybody needs like anything easy, I will always suggest either the jerk lentils or the curry chickpeas. Anything with legumes, because it's filled with protein too. So you're getting all your essential nutrients in there and it's filling.
Because one thing that amazed me when I was, you know, checking out your IG, because I follow you already, but I was really like looking into it from a different perspective. And I noticed your testimonials going through. It's like, yo, food can really change everything. A lot of problems that we do have, we try to cover it with different medicines, but it's like, yo, it's really what you eat. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that stuck out to me was the one girl with lupus. In a text message, she told you that it causes her foot to swell. But mm-hmm. when she started eating your food, she didn't have no more signs of that. Like, that's a miracle. How did that happen? Like, just through food.
So what happens is a lot of foods that you eat that are acidic, it causes inflammation. Essentially, how the body works is you want your body to be in an alkaline environment. So foods that give you a negative pH is kale, strawberries, blueberries, quinoa, like stuff like that. You want to keep your body negative, because when it's positive, that's when it's actually more acidic. And the more acidic it is, that's how the problems produce. So look at your acidic body as like a swamp. So if your blood is swimming through toxins, essentially your brain or every other part of your body is not going to get the essential nutrients it needs. You want to eat foods that allow your body to maneuver. If that part of your body isn't getting nutrients, that's how that part gets inflamed. So once you have an inflammation, that's when a whole bunch of problems come. That's why she had lupus. It depends on your body. So different inflammations causes different problem. So it all depends on your body and who you are and what that inflammation will cause. And if you don't treat it right then and there, it's just going to keep leading on to problems, because people don't wake up out of nowhere and just have cancer. Cancer causes through a high nitrogen buildup. And high nitrogen buildup comes from you not frequently using the bathroom. Like, I know it's so weird for people to talk about, but I always talk about those with my clients. I make sure they're comfortable with telling when they got to use the bathroom and how they use the bathroom. Because essentially, you using the bathroom is going to let you know how your body is doing. So if you're constipated, you're not eating enough fiber. So if you're not eating enough fiber, all right, I need my kale, I need my strawberries, I need my antioxidants, all that stuff has fiber in it. Essentially not eating the right nutrients. So your body's just dehydrated. And when it's dehydrated, that's when loose stool comes out. So you want it to kind of, the way your feces is supposed to be, it's not supposed to have a form. And when you wipe, it's not supposed to be resin. And it's not supposed to smell at all. Anytime I use the bathroom, everybody in the house is amazed, because they never know when I got to do a number two, because it never smells like anything. You're not supposed to smell nothing.
You know how many arguments you could have saved in my household for stinking up the bathroom? Like, we literally fight over things like that. Like, yo, what did you eat? That's exactly crazy.
When you eat dead foods or foods with no nutritional value, that's what happens. Like, it literally just sits there. And then when it comes out, it just comes out in the worst way. So, and I've had clients that tell me that they're just like, ever since I started eating your food, I noticed when I go to the bathroom, it's easier for me to go to the bathroom. They said they don't really have resin when they wipe and there's no smell. And I'm just like, that's how it's supposed to be. And yo, you notice that after the first week of eating healthy.
KB, I ain't eating right.
We know that.
Yo, I did not know that. What the hell?
Yeah.
I also saw the girl with the cramps, and she said it helped with her cramps and I think her bleeding. That is a kicker right there, because I know a lot of females, and you know when they on their menstrual, they be acting real different. So it's like, yo, maybe you need to go vegan or plant-based. We can get this good workout on.
No, it's true, because what happens is the unhealthy foods, it weighs on top of your uterus. So it's just like having 10 pounds of weight sitting on top of your uterus. So if it's sitting on top of it, it's essentially all of those foods that's sitting on top of it's going to cause you to cramp. It's going to cause you to have all those problems. I read Queen Afua's Woman's Wellness book, and that's what I learned about that. And she talked a lot about the woman's body and like the time of the month and how like the foods affect those things. And foods has a lot to do with a lot of the female problems that you see today. It has a lot to do with the foods that we're eating. And it has to do with your body being in an acidic environment, because your body cannot thrive in an acidic environment. That's like the best way to put it.
Wait, what does that mean? Acidic environment.
Acidic environment meaning your pH is lower than the 7. If you look it up, like meat is acidic, dairy is acidic, processed foods like Doritos is acidic. Foods that essentially has chemicals in it. If you can't pronounce the food, the ingredients of the food that you're eating, you shouldn't be eating it. Because essentially when those chemicals break down into little pieces inside of your body, the way it interacts, it basically becomes oxidative stress because those molecules are looking for other cells to bond with. And if those cells aren't bonding with those, with the cells with the molecules, then it's going to basically cause them to be free radical cells. And free radical cells is what the cause of a lot of issues are. That's oxidative stress, free radical cells just floating around. It's unstabilized cells roaming around your body. Every molecule in your body needs something to stabilize it. And if you don't have a stabilizer, that's how your body becomes acidic.
I think I need a meal plan. For me and the listeners, do you offer meal plans?
The way I do my meal prep services is I will provide each nutrient that your body needs throughout the day. So it'll have protein, calcium, carbohydrates, minerals that you need. I try to do everything in there. So a perfect example would be I would have a dish that has lentils, quinoa, and kale. That meal alone already has the nutrients that your body needs in order for it to do what it has to do. And it would be a lunch and dinner meal. For breakfast, normally I would provide options for my clients, like snacks. I would provide, not really, I wouldn't make them, but I would essentially give them because the snacks that I would provide or mention, they spoil too fast. So I just always recommend they do it on their time so I don't waste their money. So I would always give recommendations on what to snack on, what to have for breakfast, so they're still maintaining a healthier lifestyle.
Okay. I think I need that. So,
I mean, hey, get yourself a recipe guide that I have, and you can cook yourself if you don't want me to do it. It still has everything in there.
Because I know our listeners, I'm not the only one that's not eating right. So I think a lot of our listeners are going to need that. But I got a quick question, though. How do you name your price? So one of the big things KB and I, we talked about in our very last episode was the toughest things entrepreneurs struggle with. And I think creators like yourself that's in the food industry, how do you name your price and how do you choose what to charge your clientele?
I feel like it goes by the labor and what ingredients you're using. So for me, I know that when I go shopping, I'm either shopping at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or Wild by Nature. Essentially, all three of those are health food stores. Or sometimes I'll go to Restaurant Depot, but for the most part, I shop at the health food stores because I try to give my clients better ingredients. If I know I'm going there and I know their prices, I essentially have to charge a little bit extra for that. You also want to charge for your labor. So you do what you feel that you're worth. So if you know you're doing a meal prep service and that meal prep service takes you 10 hours, think to yourself, how much do I want to get paid per hour standing on my feet for 10 hours? Preparing all this food and try to be reasonable with it because you still want to have loyal clientele. You don't want to charge too much and have somebody come one time. You want to do something that works within other people's budgets, but something that will still get you compensated for what you do.
What do you say was one of your, you know, biggest struggles as far as like, you know, doing entrepreneurship and, you know, selling your plates and selling and catering? Like, what was something that you face?
I would definitely say my time management. And that's something I have got better with through time. I would notice that I would undertime myself. Like I would wake up at like 9 o'clock in the morning and would have to make over 100 plates. And I'm just like, okay, I can be done by 4 o'clock. And realistically, you're not going to be done by 4 o'clock. So it's just like, cause you know, you got to chop everything and then you got to cook everything. And then after that, then you got to clean up. So you got to tie all of those things together. And I feel that was what the hardest part was for me. And I noticed I was delivering food too late. And I noticed in the beginning of that, I noticed I lost a few clientele from that. And that's what kind of motivated me to get better on my time management and be like, okay, if I know I got to make this much, I'm going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Even if I'm done early, I'm done early. Like I'm on time. So I try to do that a lot more. And I feel like that's one thing people should work on, the time management. Because even though you are an entrepreneur and you think everything runs on your time, it essentially doesn't. You have to be considerate of other people. You have your own schedule, but the person buying from you, they're working a 9-to-5 job. They are on a certain schedule. They can't be up with you at 1 o'clock in the morning to get your product. So you have to learn how to work with that person as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's so true. Being an entrepreneur, when you're your own boss, like, yes, you work for yourself, but in reality, you really work for your clientele, you know, like... Okay. And the best thing, though, is that if one clientele isn't happy or whatever the case may be, luckily, as an entrepreneur, we could pick and choose.
that's so important. Time management is one thing we know a lot of our entrepreneurs, they struggle with. So I got maybe one more question for you just to see, you know, your thought process on this. So being an entrepreneur, sometimes what we find is that you sometimes got to get rid of people in order to hit your goals. Is there anyone or anything you had to get rid of in order for you to be more successful in your field?
Definitely. I would say the first step was me quitting my job, especially when I noticed a lot of new management came in, the energy and the vibe change. So I feel like when you're in a negative environment or around negative people all the time, you can't be your best self. Negative energy is real. I know a lot of people be like, oh, like, you know, that's not real. It's real. You're surrounding yourself by that's exactly what you're going to be. And it's just, I'm only saying this from experience, because once I left the job that I was at and I eliminated people that I thought were like my friends, I've noticed my business grew straight from there. Because once you have a better mindset and you're more in a positive space, you will prosper. You will have a better mindset. You will, if you have people that, as KB said, if you have other people that are motivating you or you want to be like that person, you will be the best you can be. So you always want to keep yourself around positive people, positive energy, because that's the only way you would really, that's one of the only ways you would really succeed in being an entrepreneur.
I agree.
One thing that stood out for me from when I first met you, you had like 1,000 followers. And I looked, today, as I reset your page, I'm like, yo, she had 5K. I know social media has been an impact, but what strategies do you use to help with your business as far as social media?
Well, I'd say for me, I felt like I was able to tap into what I felt people would like in food, like what people would like to see. So the perfect example was, I feel once I started doing vegan Haitian food, because vegan and Haitian does not go together. It's actually banned. If you know any Haitians, you will know Haitians take their food very seriously. I had a few Haitians curse me out because I was veganizing their food. And I feel once I went that route, that's when I noticed the growth. And that's what it goes back into. You want to do stuff that's different. You don't see vegan Haitian food out there. So the fact that I took that leap and I decided to do the vegan Haitian food, that's when I've noticed I started to get a lot more views and a lot more people, because that's not around. And there's a lot of Haitians that don't eat meat now. So for them to see that, like finally somebody that's making options for them to eat, I feel that's what kind of like helped. For the most part, it's just knowing your viewers, knowing your content. Since I'm Caribbean, that's where it fit for me. But if you're not Caribbean, you just want to do something where like it'll fit into what you're trying to put out there. And you want to make sure you're different from that other person that's doing the same thing you're doing. Because everybody does hair, everybody does makeup, and that's fine. It's up to what makes you different and why people are going to be drawn to you in particular.
Yeah, we were just talking about this on our last episode. It's so crazy that you said the exact same words.
It's so important. That's a huge growth you've had, you know, to go from 1K to 5K. And you took a very unique angle. So I salute you on that. The last thing we want to do is we want to try to talk about the motivation now, because being an entrepreneur, I'm sure your journey wasn't a sexy journey. And I could only imagine some of the ups and the downs. So what would you say is like some of the things or content that you used to keep yourself motivated when you wanted to quit?
I would say I follow a lot of successful people on social media, not just successfully, just like with money wise, but successful mental wise, because I feel like once your mental is there, you can kind of do anything. It's all about having a positive mindset, because if you keep telling yourself I can't, you really can't. But if you keep enforcing that I can, because there's a lot of things that I've manifested in prior to starting this whole business thing, and I'm starting to see it happen now. It's happening now, but it's because I kept telling myself, this is what's going to happen. And once you say this is going to happen, plans are going to just start coming into your head. And once those plans come into your head, it's like everything starts to make sense. But I follow people who are on that same type of time. Aside from just people who do food, I also follow, like, I'm pretty sure you guys know Dana Chanel. She owns Jumping Jack Taxes. I think that's pretty motivational. She opened a business that will forever be in business. Like, everybody needs to do taxes. So, like, you know, I look up to people who do stuff like that, not for, as I said, not just food, but people who do stuff financial, people who do hair, makeup. I look at anybody who has the positive mindset and people who are doing positive things out there for their community and for their journey.
Have you ever thought about quitting?
I have. There's plenty of times where, like, I would have a downfall and I'd be like, damn, I should just use my degree and get a job. But there's so many times where I told myself, no, just keep pushing your product and see what happens. Because I feel like I'm using the advantage of me staying at home still, because I still live with my parents. So I'm just like, if I'm still at home, there's no excuse for me. I don't pay rent. So why am I going to sit here and give up on something where, like, I don't have major responsibilities for me to just put an end to it? Unless I get to that point, then maybe. But I feel like I have a chance where I need to use my advantages and just keep going until I can't go no more.
Heck yeah.
I tell people that all the time. They look at me like, oh, I got three heads. I'm like, mm-hmm. stay home long as possible. Stack mm-hmm. your bread. Figure out what you really want. And, you know, this is the best time to, you know, to go after what you want. Because like you said, you don't have no response. You don't have a child. You know, this is the time we should be free and doing what works for us and be selfish with our time. I'm a full advocate of just going for it, like risk it all.
Exactly. Because it's like, you never know until you try. And that's something like my dad has always told me, I'm applying it now. You really never know until you try. Like when I first started, I didn't think I was going to go this far in this short amount of time. I thought it was going to take a few years for me to get to where I am in my business. So to see it happen so fast for me, that's what made me a firm believer. And you really never know until you try. Honestly, you just got to keep going, keep pushing content, keep believing in yourself. I feel like once you keep believing in yourself, things will just happen. Like you will start doing things. You're just like, whoa, I had that in me. But it's because, as I said, once you have that positive mindset, it's just everything is different for you after that.
I agree.
And I noticed on your Facebook that you actually gave out some plant-based meals to essential workers. Like that was pretty dope.
It was a girl that was actually a client of mine. She's a nurse and she works within the medical field. And she was like, how she knows a few areas that aren't getting any food. She was posting on her stories and on her Instagram page. And I follow her back and I was just like, hey, if they need any vegan options, I'd be more than happy to help. And she messaged me back right away and she was like, yes, please, that'd be great. Because there's a lot of them that actually don't eat meat. That'd be very helpful. So we put that together and I just gave out food to them. I felt like I should be giving back to my community because people give to me so much with my business. It would be selfish of me to not give back to others. So I felt the need to give back to others and that was my way of doing so.
I love that. We was talking to one of our old friends from high school the other day and we were just saying like we're in a different space where we feel like we're living in abundance. And I think when you feel like you're living in abundance, you're not worried about, you know, giving more. And we're big on that and, you know, entrepreneurhood. And it's dope to see that you have those same type of qualities and same type of mindset, because a lot of people, they're so fearful, especially coming from New York. It's like, it's so competitive that you feel like I can't give more because you might have one up on me. But if mm-hmm. you truly believe that it's your gift and your God-given talent, you're never going to run out of that. And exactly. I definitely admire that you have that same type of gene.
Exactly. No, I completely agree with that. You only know what your talent is and you know nobody can top you in that. It doesn't matter what anybody, I don't care what nobody else is doing. And that's another advice I give to entrepreneurs. Don't look at what other people is doing. You can look for motivation, like, hey, I want to be able to get here one day. Don't ever feel like, oh, this person's better than me or anything. Nobody's better than you. You're only your worst competitor. That's just what it is. You compete with yourself. How can I be better than how I was last month? And that's how I look at myself as.
Dang, that's powerful, you know? So I'm listening to you, Kat, and I'm getting inspired because I feel like, you know, there's so many people that are listening that probably are going through the same thing, that same struggles you're talking about. So one of my follow-up questions to that, Kat, is what advice would you give someone who's listening who wants to be an entrepreneur in the food industry or the vegan industry? What would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I would say, please get a food handler's license. You don't know how much people I see doing plates without any kind of license. It's just like, you need to understand what temperature bacteria grows in the first place before you give any kind of food, because then you're going to give people a foodborne illness. So I would always recommend educating yourself. I did an e-food handler's license and I also got my license from New York City Health Department, where you go and you take an exam and you're certified to basically serve food throughout New York City area. So yeah, I recommend people to do that just so they can safely handle the food. I would also recommend, if you start to notice yourself growing, since you do food, you need to get an LLC to protect yourself, because anything is possible. People can be allergic, people can choke, anything is possible when it comes to food. So I would recommend doing the license and getting your LLC just to protect yourself. That, and I would also practice by selling plates. That's essentially how I learned how much food to make for people. So if I'm like, all right, if I had a list of 50 people that's buying plates for me today, I learned how much tray of food I would need to make those 50 plates. And I feel like that's how I got better at like the catering orders, my meal prep services, just by selling plates. So, like, I know people, there's some people who talk down on people who sell plates. I don't talk down on it. I feel like you need to start somewhere, and that's the best way to start. Do that just to get your game up on what it's like to cook big quantities of food, or just to know how much you need to make, how much groceries you need to buy to make that meal and stuff like that.
Yo, I love hearing you talk, because you're touching on all of the things that KB and I, we talked about in previous episodes of protecting yourself. You know, you don't want to, we call that episode, you level up or you play dirty. And idea is the LLC protects your brand. And I think educating yourself first, making sure you know what you're doing, and then you exactly. protect yourself, and then you scale. Like, this is why I love this show, KB, man. All our entrepreneurs, we all have that common gene where we know the blueprint of what it takes. And I just want more people that's listening to see it's all the same, and it's just different angles and different personalities. That's what allows people to win.
Exactly.
I got a question, because hearing about all this food is making me hungry. Are you doing another Space Harvest event? I missed that one due to, you know, prior engagements, but I'm excited. Like, are you doing vegan barbecue, plant-based barbecue, something going on? Like, I want to have a festival. Just tell people about the Space Harvest event, that people that don't know about it, like, how is the setup?
So basically, Space Harvest was meant to be a bougie dinner party, because a lot of vegan restaurants that you go to, they're not like, they don't give you the vibe of like, all right, I want to go out and get dressed up and we're going to have a nice dinner. There's not a lot of vegan places. They're very hippie. They're not into that. You come in jeans, sneakers, and a shirt, and you get your food and you call it a day. I wanted vegans to be able to have that opportunity to feel like, all right, I'm going to bring my husband. We're going to get nice. We're going to have drinks. We're going to eat out. That's the kind of vibe I wanted to go for. And that was the Space Harvest. I named the Space Harvest because I call myself the chef from outer space. And it was around fall, which is like harvest time. So I kind of just put the two together, Space Harvest. And that was the dinner party from there.
Now, you definitely got to have a Space Harvest too. So is there any vegan drinks out there, or plant-based drinks out there that we can, you know, go after when we go to the store?
You mean like alcohol or just like in general?
No, we're talking about alcohol.
So the good thing is a lot of liquor is actually vegan. So I would say just like, of course, the top-notch liquors like the Henny, the Grey Goose, Patron, they actually have tequila that's made from agave. So it's not made from just sugar. It's made from a healthier sugar. That's what my friends actually bought me yesterday. I'm like, my friends know me too well. They bought me agave tequila. I'm like, you guys are the best. But they have stuff like that. So yeah, you could still drink liquor and be vegan. I think the ones that probably aren't vegan are like, there's some wines I know they put like anchovies in it. Don't ask me why, but they do. Or like the rum liqueurs, they'll have like milk in it or some kind of dairy. But for the most part, most hard liquors are all vegan.
I hope you wasn't going to say Henny. My clients is going to use that against me.
You know, you can still have Henny.
After his episode, but oh, it's vegan. It's poison.
No, but it's sugar. We don't want to do that. Still causes bloating. That's why I don't drink all the time. Like, people, like, you know, they would think that, you know, you would drink all the time, but no, I try to limit that because it's still bad for you. Essentially, when it's turn up time, I'll have my cup, but other than that, I try to chill on it.
Yo, I never knew that alcohol had vegan options. Like, what?
I found that out when I went to this vegan restaurant called Modern Love in Brooklyn, and they had like vegan margaritas, and I'm sitting there looking, I'm just like, this exists. But it was agave flavor. It was agave tequila. That's exactly what my friends got me yesterday. It's tequila that's made from agave instead of like the sugar and all the other stuff that they put into it. Yeah, there's levels to this. I know. I said the same thing.
I'm amazed right now.
Each time I learn something new, it's just like, damn, there's something new about health that I ain't know about.
That's how I'm feeling. Like, I'm trying to take it all in. And, you know, the last question that I got before, you know, we trying to wrap up is there like anything that our listener could look forward to, or that our listeners could purchase from you? Like, is there anything that you're offering that you think could help the listeners either be more healthy vegan wise, or I think KB was telling me you have a few eBooks, and I think that's unique.
Yeah. So on my website, I actually have a blog section, and the most common questions I get, I answer everything on there. My website is www.thecaribbeanvegan.org, and the blog page is that helps people transition to a plant-based lifestyle, how to shop. I also have recipes from my recipe guide on there so people can have a preview of what to expect if they do decide to purchase. The ebooks that I have definitely has a lot of plant-based recipes in there to help people transition or just to make better food choices. Or even if you were having some kind of party and you know somebody there is vegan, there you go. You got your vegan option.
Okay.
Being that you have these different products that you offer, in the next 5 to 10 years, what do you want to happen? What do you want to achieve? Do you see a brick and mortar? Do you see a food truck? What do you see for the Caribbean Vegan?
Well, for me, I was actually watching TV the other day with my mom, and I actually seen there was a commercial for Jenny Craig. And I remember telling my mom, I'm like, that's going to be me on the TV, except it's going to be me offering my meal prep. And of course, nothing against Jenny Craig or anybody that's on the commercials, but I read a lot of ingredients, especially now more than ever. A lot of the stuff they have are essentially not good for us in the long run. I remember we talked about that earlier. I want to put options that are essentially better for you so you can still eat those things and not have those health problems in the next 5 to 10 years after eating those same things. Even though you lost weight from those products, as I said, you can still have health problems. And I want to put products on the shelf that will prevent people from having those health problems that they do experience from eating those prepackaged foods that they have on the shelf. So I eventually want to get my meal prep, I want to get my meal prep prepackaged and put into actual supermarkets so people can have more accessible food options available, healthier, because there's not a lot of that exists. A lot of the frozen healthy stuff they have is either you can't afford it or it's hard to find. Not everybody has a Whole Foods around them. Not everybody has a Wild by Nature. I was just thankful to live in an area where that stuff is accessible to me and I have a car, but I don't know everybody's in that situation. So I want to be able to have those options in a regular Key Food, in a regular King Cullen, so people can just grab it and go instead of having to travel out far or just giving up on, I can't find anything healthy. I want it to be right there for people.
Coming for Jenny Craig, that's big. I like to hear that. And it's something that we need for our people and our culture. We don't see that enough. So your epitome of a lot of entrepreneurs and your story, resonates with a lot of people. I think it's dope that you're doing it. I want you to keep going. Don't stop at all. If you feel like quitting, play this episode.
Being an entrepreneur comes in a lot of different forms. KB and I, we talked about this. The last episode, we want to take all the different angles. I've learned so much about vegan experience. I didn't know vegan had alcohol. I didn't know it affects the way what comes out of your body. You taught us a lot. So, Kat, now that you've been on Entrepreneurhood, what does entrepreneurhood mean to you?
I feel entrepreneurhood is basically a platform for entrepreneurs to talk to other people that are feeling discouraged, start their journey, because I know a lot of people have those thoughts. We all had those thoughts before starting anything. It's just like, is this going to work? It's too expensive. This is going to waste my time. The entrepreneurhood is a way for people to listen. And it's just like, okay, I was in that same position that this person was in before. I know how to work past it now because I've heard their story, and I know to keep myself motivated to keep going because I heard other people's stories that have been through the same thing I've been through. That's what I think entrepreneurship is now.
I truly going to relist this episode and figure out what foods I'm going to eat, and I'm going to check out Kat's website. Can you give us the website one more time?
Yes, www.thecaribbeanvegan.org.
And what's your Instagram?
The Caribbean Vegan LLC.
So you guys definitely check her out. And realize food is an art. We really got to start paying attention to what we put in our bodies, start reading ingredients labels, start asking questions, start researching, because mm-hmm. You truly are what you eat. And we want to live long, healthy lives, and we want to be vibrant. So I know me, I want to look, 27 forever. So I personally going to take heed, even being a trainer, it's always never ending knowledge you need to learn. Please, guys, take heed to what you're eating. And realize you are what you eat. Entrepreneurhood.
Anyone can start, but only champions finish. Now that you've completed this episode, you're ready to continue your journey by connecting directly with our hosts of Entrepreneurhood. Follow us on Instagram at The Entrepreneur Hood to stay updated with the community. For each episode, the first set of listeners to tag us on Instagram and leave a 5-star review will be entered into a drawing to get a free 1-on-1 coaching session on the topic of entrepreneurship with our hosts. Remember, there is no shame in struggling, because we fail, we grow, and we win. Right here on Entrepreneurhood.